The war against free speech. If you're going onto college campus, you will discover there is a war against free speech. But anywhere in society, it's becoming more common today. At the Biblical Worldview Summit, we aim to apply the lordship of Jesus Christ to all areas of life. The sword, the word in Africa, that's our vision. There are threats to free speech. According to World Watch List 2019, just in the top 50 countries where Christians are most persecuted, last year, 4,136 Christians were killed for their faith that we know of, that we have the names of. On average, that is 11 Christians killed for their faith every single day. In 2018, at least 2,625 Christians that we know of were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned for the faith. And 1,266 churches or Christian buildings like mission stations were attacked in 2018. I haven't got the stats yet for 2019, but apparently it's more. Like this, one of the largest churches in China demolished by order of the local Chinese Communist government. In 2018, 215 million Christians experienced persecution for their faith. You've heard about the Nuba Mountains of Sudan. Every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith, 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed, and 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians, such as beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, forced marriages, that we have documentation for. Of course, the vast majority we would not know about. They predict 245 million will suffer persecution in 2020, a 14% increase on the previous year. That represents 30 million more Christians will be abused for their faith this year than last year. This means worldwide, one in every nine Christians will be experiencing high levels of persecution. One in nine. This postcard came from friends in Egypt. They may destroy our churches, but they cannot destroy our faith. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The only biblical restrictions on freedom of speech in the Ten Commandments are, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, outside of those prohibitions against blasphemy and slander, we have freedom of speech. Now, of course, you could also say, do not commit adultery prohibits immorality and pornography in all its forms by upholding sanctity of marriage. But pornography is not free, it's not speech. But I'm just mentioning this, sometimes they try and say, well, that comes under freedom of speech. No, it's not speech. It's abusing and perverting and exploiting people for profit. You shall not murder, of course, should prohibit incitements to hatred and violence by upholding the sanctity of life. But outside those few biblical restrictions, we have freedom of speech. Our Lord Jesus began his ministry by quoting this passage from Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them which are bound. Historically, freedom of speech is a fruit of Christianity, particularly of the Protestant Reformation. As observed by Colton Hayes in Christianity and Western Civilization, wherever Christian ideals have been generally accepted and their practice sincerely attempted, there is dynamic liberty. And wherever Christianity is being ignored or rejected, persecuted or chained to the state, there is tyranny. Now, in this map, I would have done the colors differently, but red indicates medium persecution and purple, high persecution. You'll notice most of the persecution in the world occurs in what is called the 1040 window, between the 10th and the 40th degrees latitude in the Northern Hemisphere across North Africa, the Middle East, South Central Asia. Most of those are Muslim countries. There are some communist countries, and there's also Buddhist countries as well, persecuting the church. But primarily, the biggest enemies of the church, the biggest enemies of freedom, are communism and Islam. Our Lord Jesus taught us to do to others as we would want them to do to us. And this has led Christians to tolerate and be kind and gracious to those of different opinions and different faiths. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible provides the essential foundations for freedom. From the dooms of King Alfred the Great, which came out in the 9th century, which is basically the common law of England. The dooms of King Alfred begin in these words. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of Egypt, out of bondage. You are to have no other gods before me. And the whole Ten Commandments and the case laws of Exodus and the Sermon on the Mount follow. That's the preamble to the common law of England. Common law meaning common to all classes, all ranks. It applies to everyone. From the dooms of King Alfred the Great to Magna Carta, the first statute, the first great written restriction on the powers of government of 1215, to the Petition of Rights of 1628, and the English Bill of Rights of 1689. Most English people don't know they've got a Bill of Rights. When I've heard Americans say the American Bill of Rights is the first Bill of Rights in the history of the world, well, that's just not even vaguely true. Unless you think world history started with the Pilgrim Fathers. But no, it was based consciously on the English Bill of Rights, the Petition of Rights, and on Magna Carta and the dooms of King Alfred, as you will learn even from reading of the American founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson. All of these documents are founded on freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So Galatians 5:13 makes it clear, liberty is the freedom to do what we ought to do, not what we want to do. Freedom is not to be abused for selfish, abusive, destructive ways. There should be no freedom for Satanism, cruelty to animals, human sacrifice, other things. No, liberty is the liberty to do what we should do, not what we just want to do. However, anti-Christian forces and tyrants always seek to restrict freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and therefore freedom of thought. This is well illustrated in George Orwell's insightful book, 1984, which was one of the required textbooks when I was at school in Rhodesia, as was Animal Farm. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth can become a revolutionary act. Thought crimes. Truth is the new hate speech. Free speech is hate speech to those who hate the truth. In 1984, you read that they had a ministry of truth who ran propaganda. A ministry of plenty who handled the rationing and starvation. A ministry of love who did the tortures. And a ministry of peace who ran the war. And that's the way it is today. I mean, you've got all kinds of evil things being done by governments, but they put such nice names to it. Instead of massacring civilian populations, they call it strategic bombing. Instead of killing civilians, they have collateral damage. Instead of assassinating people, they terminate them with extreme prejudice. Or they have an executive action, and or they might call it a wet job or a black ops job. And so it goes on. Instead of theft, it's called land reform or expropriation without compensation. Instead of racism, they call it affirmative action and black economic empowerment. They've got different words for it to make what they're doing sound good and whatever you're doing sound bad. They don't want you to have free speech. Who am I talking about? Secular humanists, the New World Order, communists, that bunch. They don't want you to have free speech, so they invented a new term called hate speech to shut you up. By the way, you can search the Bible. You will not find the word hate speech. In fact, there's a lot of things people talk about today that you won't find in the Bible, like Judeo-Christian, for example. Everyone has an opinion on just about everything, but I prefer the truth. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate truth. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. Better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. A nice old Russian proverb. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, wrote the Apostle Paul, Galatians 4, verse 16. In the past, in the Middle Ages, political leaders could silence dissent by accusing critics of treason. And that should be enough for you to lose your head. 16-year-old Lady Jane Grey, beheaded by her cousin, Bloody Mary, for refusing to renounce her Protestant faith. And therefore, she was executed for the crime of treason. Because Bloody Mary Tudor was a Catholic, and she commanded all her subjects to be Catholic. And Lady Jane Grey was so well taught in the faith. In fact, you can read in Fox's Book of Martyrs 4 pages of her intelligent defense, which outwitted the top minds and bishops of the Catholic Church, as she plainly knew her doctrine. She was so well taught that at age 16, she died for Christ rather than renounce her faith. Religious leaders such as popes could silence critics in opposition by accusing them of heresy, like Joan of Arc, burned at the stake for the crime of heresy. What was a heresy? Well, she fought for freedom and spoke for God. Many tens of thousands of our brothers and sisters in Christ, our fathers and mothers in the faith, were burned at the stake for the crime of heresy. The first Protestant Archbishop of the Church of England, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, was burned at the stake in Oxford for the crime of disagreeing with the Roman Catholic Church, and therefore Bloody Mary. Today, the modern equivalent of these ancient attempts to silence freedom of thought and freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, freedom of speech, are racist, Islamophobe, homophobic bigot, anti-Semite, Nazi, legalist, intolerant, judgmental, sexist. One of the first Afrikaans words I learned in the army was wetties. Yes to wetties. You see, you quote the law to somebody, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and a whole lot of people say, wetties, legalist. Because, you know, you're not meant to quote the word, that's bringing conviction of sin. And it makes people feel uncomfortable. And so these are the modern equivalents of heresy and treason. It's just a tactic to silence dissent. Racist, by the way, stands for rather annoying communist-inspired silencing tactic. There is a word used against critics of Islam, Islamophobia. There's a phrase used against critics of Judaism, anti-Semitic. In fact, even if you criticize the state of Israel and a political action, you're apparently guilty of anti-Semitism now. So what's a word used for people who criticize Christianity? So which religion is the most confident it can withstand criticism? Which religion tolerates dissent? Liberal scientists can prove climate change is real, but they can't even tell the difference between boys and girls. Now, how do you like this advert promoting gay pride? KLM Airlines, it doesn't matter who you click with. Now, what they... Okay, but, if you're in a plane and you're trying to put male on male or female on female, what will the air hostess say? Don't be stupid, this is the way you put it and so on. They say, but it doesn't matter who you click with. It does matter on a plane, makes a difference between whether it works or not. Yes, well, exactly. What a stupid, self-refuting promotion of homosexuality. How many people going into university go with all kinds of great ideas of education that come out not educated, but indoctrinated? Now, I was born 1960. If I got bad grades, my parents would be all over me. Puck Sly, I think, is how the general described it. We got hidings. These days, if there's bad grades, they fall on the teacher. Now it's not the pupil's or student's fault. Now it's the teacher's fault. And you can see the results in the hospitals. Mice die in mouse traps because they don't understand why the cheese is free. The government doesn't give you anything free. You pay for it. You know, free education, I don't know what the stats are in South Africa, they're probably worse, but in America, government education costs 8 times more per student than private Christian independent schools per student. So it's not free. In fact, if you did it yourself, it would work out without the taxation theft. It would work out 1/8 the price of doing it through the government, because the government's got these massive bureaucracies, which has nothing to do with education, and very little actually gets in the classroom. I think our teachers know exactly what I'm talking about there. Dad, if socialism doesn't work, why do people support it? Because they don't work either, son. A leftist is someone who will riot in the streets, destroy property, and attack conservatives to protest against hate. A brother was telling us about Antifa, anti-fascist. They're the most fascist, intolerant hate group imaginable. They're a terrorist group, and they claim to be fighting against hate. Got to be kidding. Look in a mirror. You publish this sort of picture on Facebook, and you could be accused of being a racist because you think burning trains is a bad idea. And in Britain, there are so many tragic stories of girls abducted, groomed by Asian, they call them Asian gangs, it's Muslim gangs. Asian is now a euphemism for Muslim. And held as sex slaves for 12 years, but what happened to her after she escaped defies belief. She was abused by the child welfare and the police and judiciary system because they didn't want to prosecute Muslims. It is now calculated that over 1 million youngsters in the United Kingdom of Great Britain have been sexually abused as children over the years by Muslims without Scotland Yard, the local police, or the Child Protection Services of Britain willing to deal with it because they didn't want to be called racist or Islamophobic. Then you get this sleazy, low-life, pedophile rapist, Harvey Weinstein, who is the producer of so many films like Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, and so on. You'll see the first thing that comes on the screen is, before Long Walk to Freedom, a Weinstein production. In fact, there's so many disgusting films out there promoted by Weinstein. Weinstein is not just the most, prolific producer in Hollywood, but he's a predator and a pariah, and many, many, many women have come forward now testifying how they were abused by this low-life creep. But he's not the only one. A whole lot of other women in Hollywood have come out and said, well, these other characters also were sexual predators and rapists. And there's even more. And some of these might be some of your favorite Hollywood idols, for that matter, but the fact still is they are rapist pedophiles. Now, think about if John the Baptist preached today in an average lukewarm church. Oh, generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oh, John, you're a legalist. John, you're pushing people away from Jesus. John, you need to show more love, love, love. Just tell them how much God loves them. You're not very Christ-like, John. John, stop judging everyone. You need to build a relationship with them first. John, you're being a stumbling block. What did Jesus say? No one born of woman is greater than John. Concerning homosexuality, this once brought hell out of heaven on Sodom. Quote from Charles Spurgeon. That could be considered hate speech. Politicians and preachers are continually moving God's landmarks and steadily destroying all moral boundaries and moral order, wrote R.J. Rushdoony. And that's what they're doing. The goalposts keep getting moved. You know, a few years ago, you could have said, marriage can only be between a man and a woman, or there's only two genders, and nobody would have blinked an eyelid. Now, people lose their jobs, get kicked out of university, get failed and so on, and even prosecuted in some parts of the world, like Canada, for saying something that was obvious not that long ago. A lie does not become truth, and wrong does not become right, and evil does not become good just because it's accepted by a majority or promoted on the Clinton News Network. Hate speech is what governments call free speech when they hear something they don't like. There's a worldwide phenomenon, and it's part of a comprehensive war against God. I don't know how many of you know of Dr. Ian Paisley. Powerful, powerful preacher, Protestant leader in Northern Ireland. Good friend, outstanding reformer. He was famously hit the headlines in 1982 in particular when Pope John Paul II came to speak at the Beast at Brussels EU Parliament. And As John Paul stood up to speak before he was able to say anything, Ian Paisley, who was an elected member for Northern Ireland, the European Parliament, so he's an MEP, member of the European Parliament, he stood up and said, John Paul, Antichrist, I defy you with all your false doctrines. And he had a poster of John, Pope John Paul II, Antichrist. Well, along came some ushers, whipped it out of his hand. He pulled out another one. And he kept shouting, Antichrist, I defy you with all your false doctrines. And they whipped that John out of his hand too. He had 26. He kept producing another one out of his pocket. The newspaper said, nobody remembers what John Paul said that day, but everyone remembers what Ian Paisley said. Now, Ian Paisley was brave. He is courageous. But that free speech would now be considered hate speech today. You wouldn't be allowed to say that now. Ian Paisley was never subtle. This is his pulpit in Northern Ireland. We preach Christ crucified. This man is one of the most powerful evangelists I've ever heard. Now, I'd heard Ian Paisley was a horrible hate-mongering, hate preacher, terrorist, and so on. And imagine my shock when I was at a ministers' conference at Kwasabantu in 1992, and up on the pulpit came Ian Paisley, and I thought, has Uncle Erlo gone crazy? You can't have this hate monger here. And he started off, Sam 2. So we all turned to 2 Samuel. Why do the nations rage? And Psalm 2. And he preached in Psalm 2. It was one of the most powerful gospel messages I'd ever heard. And I realized immediately, before I knew anything else, what I'd heard up to then was lies. This man was not a hate preacher. This man was a gospel preacher. Good man. Great man. Powerful. But he made a stand for Christ. This, by the way, is his church and Martyrs Memorial. I've preached there on a number of occasions over the years. What a great champion of the faith. The war against free speech is a threat to freedom. It is a threat to Christian schools. It is a threat to missions. It is a threat to ministries. It is a threat to Christian community radio stations. Thabo Mbeki, when he was present, closed down 8 Christian community radio stations, some of which are still closed. It is a threat to families. Is a threat to individuals. Back in 2016, we invited the Eurochoir to Cape Town, and the first event was for our Reformation 500 events. We took over the amphitheater at the waterfront, the busiest tourist destination in Cape Town, and had this wonderful opportunity to do open air ministry. In the amphitheater, we'd cleared it with the management ahead of time and so on, international choir and so on. We had 1 hour of Euro choir, and people were all over the place, and it was great and outstanding. But as Uncle Erlo stood up to pray, we had security come along and say, we've got to close you down. A Jewish woman's complained that he mentioned the name of Jesus. So I start arguing, I need to speak to the boss and the highest superior and so on. And I was doing the stalling tactics. And there's been a complaint. I said, you know, there's rock concerts here. There's rap, there's trance sometimes. I don't like that. But you've never closed any of them down for blasphemy being sung and so on. But now we singing in honor of Christ and you want to close. No, well, we've had a complaint. We've got to close you down and so on. And the security was there. And at that point, they start to sing Amazing Grace. And the shoppers all around started to join in, sing Amazing Grace. And I turned and I said, listen, do you want to get stoned? And the people love this. You know? And the security chief said, yeah, let's just leave it. And they went away. But it just shows, don't accept it when they try to shut you down. Right. We need to make a stand. Right. We've got every right to also speak in the marketplace. Wisdom cries aloud in the marketplaces. Proverbs 2, let's make a stand. These lovely people, I must say, what a great work they did around Cape Town. We had many great evangelistic conversations afterwards. Just reading gospel booklets and seeing people reading the word after the singing. Innocent comments such as marriage can only be between a man and a woman now is considered hate speech in Canada. It's been enough for police investigations and criminal charges in parts of the United States and Australia and parts of Europe. The draconian hate speech bill that is before our parliament right now is one of the most serious, urgent threats to freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech in South Africa's history. especially for those who uphold the biblical definition of marriage as a lifelong relationship of love between one man and one woman. Take, for example, how freedom of speech is under attack on campus. A Christian University of Cape Town student was suspended from the Student Representative Council, where she was vice president, for expressing a biblical belief on her personal Facebook page. Zizi Pei, final year economics and statistics student, vice president of SRC, responded to the United States court ruling in 2013 that legalized same-sex marriage in all 50 states in America with, "We are institutionalizing and normalizing sin. God have mercy on us." The backlash to her brief post went beyond irrational. Homosexual activists at UCT launched a vicious tirade of hate and intimidation against her that defied description. Ironically, the attackers were demanding tolerance. Homosexual pornography, the most depraved anti-Christian blasphemy, was posted on her Facebook page. She was personally threatened. She was vilified, insulted in the most despicable ways. She had to hide off campus. Her SRC office was trashed. Scriptures pinned up on office walls were ripped off and stomped on. Semi-naked homosexual activists photographed themselves in her office in lewd poses on her desk and so on. Despite the awful abuse and intimidation of Zizi Pei, UCT management repeatedly and publicly expressed their commitment to protect LGBTQRS and whatever else they've got there, rights. But what about the rights of the Christian students? UCT management apparently took no action against those who perpetrate the harassment and the criminal attacks and damage of property against Zizi Pei, but they suspended her for her biblical convictions. This was blatant, outrageous, anti-Christian discrimination. Homosexual students and every other group were allowed to freely express their thoughts and opinions, even in unacceptable, destructive ways at UCT. However, Christians did not seem to enjoy the same rights, and certainly not the same respect at UCT. UCT demanded that Zizi retract and apologize for her biblical statement, and she could not, in good conscience, do so. It just reminds you of the Inquisition. Recant! Recant! Unbelievable. What do they think now? The Spanish Inquisition? In 2013, the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries ruled that Aaron and Melissa Klein, the Christian owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, violated civil rights laws when they refused to design a cake for a lesbian wedding. They were fined $135,000 as compensatory damages for emotional, mental, and physical suffering. Now, it's not that they refused to serve lesbian and homosexual couples. They served them. It's not that they refused to sell them a cake. If they came and ordered any cake, they would have sold them cake. They'd done that before and since. They were asked to design, creatively design a homosexual-themed cake, which, of course, as an artist, she refused to do. It's not that they weren't willing to serve them as customers, it's that they weren't willing to pervert their profession to promoting something that violated their conscience and convictions. They were also slapped with a gag order that prohibited them from speaking publicly about their refusal to participate in or design wedding cakes for same-sex unions. How can any court forbid you to speak about something? But they do. Religious freedom is under attack. Bake the cake. Also, in 2013, a judge in Colorado ruled that Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver violated anti-discriminatory laws when he refused to design a cake for a homosexual so-called wedding. The U.S. Supreme Court, praise God, later overturned this conviction and acquitted Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, although I believe they've made other attempts since to harass this poor man. Asher's Baking Company in Belfast, Northern Ireland, appealed a ruling which said their business broke the law. They refused to design and decorate a cake with a pro-gay marriage campaign slogan for this individual who is the complainant. On 19th of May 2015, Judge Brownlee ruled that the Asher's Baking Company broke sexual orientation political discrimination laws. Bakers, they're coming after bakers now. The bakery was taken to court by the Equality Commission. For Northern, what about their equality? The MacArthur family, who own and run Ashes, said they could not fulfill the order because it conflicted with their Christian convictions. Marriage can only be between one man and one woman. And this, apparently, is a hate picture, because it's depicting one man and one woman in a marriage. And they are offended by this. Bake my damned cake or I'll get the government to kill you. Kill your business. I mean, that's what it basically comes down to. What the Ashes gone to, and by God's grace, they went to the highest court in land. They finally got this insanity overturned. But that's after years of expensive legal battles. Pastors have been prosecuted for preaching what the Word of God teaches in Romans chapter 1 concerning the sin of homosexuality. A Swedish pastor, Acker Green, was charged with inciting hatred against homosexuals after a sermon wherein he urged Christians to show homosexuals deep respect and offer them the grace of Jesus Christ. Sounds very hateful to me, doesn't it? He called sexual immorality, including homosexuality, a cancerous growth in society. He was convicted and sentenced to 1 month in jail, although after expensive legal appeals, the Swedish Supreme Court acquitted him on appeal. Quoting scriptures like John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me," has been condemned as intolerant, bigoted, judgmental, and offensive hate speech. Pro-life comments such and scientific realities, biology 101, like life begins at conception, abortion is murder, has been condemned as hate speech by liberal radicals in North America, Europe, and Australia. This poor English couple, retired couple, was subject to an 18-minute police interrogation for daring to suggest that displaying Christian literature next to a gay leaflets in a town hall might be considered. Where will this all end? How far can this go? The answer to that is found in George Orwell's 1984, where thought police prosecute thought crimes, and some people become unpeople and disappear down the memory hole, and so on. The bias, the prejudice, the malice being manufactured by secular humanists through Hollywood entertainment, mainstream, or should I say lamestream, news media, secular humanist school textbooks, and increasingly intolerant political legislation are providing a sinister tool chest and armory for anti-Christian intimidation, harassment, persecution. Where does this picture come from? Immediately after Barack Hussein Obama's Supreme Court managed to legalize homosexual marriage, homos had a celebration, mock crucifixion of someone who's meant to depict Christ. That was how they celebrated the legalization of homosexual marriage. It's nothing to do with equality, tolerance, or marriage. It's everything to do with an anti-Christ, anti-Christian agenda. What is cultural Marxism? To destroy the family, to destroy religion, to destroy private property, to destroy the nation. The Frankfurt School of Marxism says, we must break every tie to blood, soil, nation, race, family, mother, father. Their goal is to break, they want a classless, rootless, nationless, individualless mass of people, all dressed in Chinese-type pajamas, saluting Chairman Mao, I suppose, and reading Mao's Little Red Book. Gag rules and restrictions on free speech are only a prelude for a tsunami of prosecutions and censorship fines and ultimately imprisonment for those not willing to sell their soul, violate their conscience, and not be intimidated into silence. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again by a yoke of bondage." On Wednesday, the 15th of February, 2017, Freedom of Religion South Africa, that's 4SA, hosted a meeting at His People in Goodwood, Cape Town, to discuss potential threats to religious freedom posed by the Hate Speech Bill and the CRL Rights Commission proposals to regulate religion, register ministers and all that sort of thing. The meeting was attended by ANC Deputy Minister of Justice, John Jeffrey, who addressed the delegates and gave an example of a minister who he claimed had called for the killing of gays from the pulpit, which frankly I find unbelievable. One of the delegates in the meeting challenged him on this and made the distinction between somebody discussing academically that the law of God may require, as far as law and due process of justice goes, and someone inciting people to take the law into their own hands, there certainly is a huge difference between advocating abortion be recognized as murder and babies protected from the violence of abortion by due process of law, and some rabble-rouser calling for individuals to take the law into their own hands and murdering abortionists. I mean, it's a big difference. I don't believe any ministers called for murdering gays from the pulpit. And this is the Ministry of Justice talking. Michael Swain, the executive director of 4SA, said, "The bill's hate speech provisions has the potential to shut down important dialogue and entrench a polarization of viewpoints." Member of Parliament Steve Swart was also there, and he challenged Mr. Jeffrey over the danger of criminalizing free speech. At a time when our legal system is swamped, overwhelmed, not coping with real serious crimes, such as armed robberies, assaults, murder, and rape, just for example, is it wise, is it helpful to swamp the courts even further with time-wasting money, wasting intrusions into freedom of speech and freedom of religion? Do you know, in America today, almost as many black children are aborted as are born. 1 in 2. What about Eshcom? When your electricity provider has a generator outside the offices, it's a bad sign. There's so many things that are wrong. Now, if somebody posts this, that Eshcom in 2015 was ordered by the Equality Commission to shed, to get rid of 1,081 white engineers for no other reason than they were white. And then the whole place went bankrupt and we started to have all sorts of chaos. Now, just posting this can be considered a hate crime and a thought crime for pointing out that the racist policies of the government has led to undermining of our electricity provisions, which undermines everyone in the whole country. Just comparing Eshcom, the powers of darkness, in 2008 to 2018, they have quadrupled their revenue. They have gone into total loss. They've been from $1 billion profit to $2.3 billion loss. In fact, now it's more like they're losing more than that. Their installed capacity has remained the same. The electricity sold has gone down. The staff employed has doubled. The employee benefits has trebled. The price for the electricity has been increased fivefold. The cost per employee has doubled. And the electricity sold per employee has gone down drastically. Now, what are we paying for? And by the way, they're wanting billions bailout from the taxpayer, but they're about to award themselves about $1 billion in Christmas bonuses. I think they already did. For performance. How can they get bonuses when they've looted the company? Eskom, $139 billion theft probe. What we're talking about is corruption. The government has looted state enterprises. They have stolen whole banks like the VBS. This book, License to Loot, How the Plunder of Eskom and Other Parastatals Almost Sank South Africa, this would be considered a thought crime and hate speech, and you wouldn't be allowed to publish it if the hate speech bill was in there. Publishing a picture like this, showing how a high school that was built a few months ago was completely stripped and looted by a local community for their own homes, you publish this, and this could be considered a thought crime. Mr. Jeffrey then opined that in the light of the wars of religion, it was necessary to implement the hate speech bill. Now, at this point, I had to stand up. And I challenged Mr. Jeffries that it seems ironic to have a politician talk about wars of religion, which after all ended 350 years ago with the Peace of Westphalia in 1648, when we have just come out of a century where secular humanist states, atheist states, socialist and communist states have murdered over 190 million of their own citizens. The wars of religion, which ended so many centuries ago, pale into insignificance compared to the colossal body count of secular states in our own lifetimes. Secular humanism has caused most of the wars and massacres of the 20th century, as documented by Death by Government by Professor Rummel. And the Black Book of Communism, which documents from the archives of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe alone. From their own archives, it documents 100 million of their own citizens killed in peacetime in the name of atheism, just between 1917 and 1991. And all this started with registering churches and restricting freedoms. which is why Christians in Ethiopia cheered when they overthrew Mengistu, overthrew communism, and toppled the idol of Lenin. The hate speech bill threatens freedom of speech, restricts freedom of conscience, erodes freedom of religion, and who determines what hate speech is? Women used to use femininity and not feminism, and when they did, they were respected, empowered, and valued. Since feminism's come in, women are less respected, more vulnerable, and have less freedoms and lower life expectancy than ever before. A true feminist would fight for the rights of pre-born women. But remember to connect male to female. Why assign gender roles to electrical currents? Let the circuits decide their own identities. Well, you see, in engineering, it doesn't work that way. The ANC government has failed in the last 25 years to deal with kill the Boer, kill the farmer slogans and songs. Afrikaans must die? Is this hate speech? No. All white people must be hacked and killed? Is this hate speech? No, of course not. These have been an incitement to violence, but they've actually led to the murder, the brutal murders and tortures of thousands of South African farmers and their family members. Documented. Thousands. Are we to believe that this government is seriously concerned with dealing with genuine hate speech and hate practice? When daily you read of farm attacks, brutal murders in the townships. And what about Islamic Jihad? Are we to believe that this ANC government really intends to deal with genuine hate speech and incitement to violence, such as found in many mosques where jihad is proclaimed and promoted? Are they really going to monitor Friday messages at the mosque? And what about pornography and blasphemy? Freedom of speech is not negotiable. Are we to accept that pornography is legally protected as free speech? And blasphemy is to be considered free speech? But our sermons and our publications and our postings are now to be examined to see if anything can be construed as offensive by subjective secularists who have a track record of harassing and prosecuting Christians? Freedom of speech is essential for any free society. There is a clear anti-Christian bias amongst many in this present government, and we do not believe that these political appointees will be fair, even-handed, and objective in determining what constitutes hate speech and what does not. Thousands of churches have been closed in China and Cuba. Tens of thousands of Christians imprisoned under similar legislation enacted under Fidel Castro. Well, many of the delegates assembled responded to my questions and statements with applause. And this seemed to unsettle this Justice Department representative who stuttered and stammered in trying to formulate a reply but neglected to respond to any of the issues I raised. Finally, he lamely said, "I don't think that it is constructive to try and compare who was most responsible for deaths in the last century. Let us just agree that some people died because of wars of religion." Mr. Jeffrey then claimed no rights are absolute, all must have limitations. Whatever happened to being innocent till proven guilty? Truth does not fear investigation. Stifling debate and criminalizing dissent does not make for a free society. Condemning people without granting them a meaningful opportunity to answer accusations is unjust. The invasive registration process proposed by the Commission to register churches and register religious practitioners is unconstitutional, it's unworkable, and it's unnecessary. The proposed regulation of religion recommended by our CRL Commission is not in keeping with the South African Charter of Religious Rights and Freedoms, to which they themselves are signatory. There are charlatans and con artists to exploit the poor and vulnerable in society, and they need to be exposed and dealt with as false advertising. And we must encourage greater discernment amongst Christians. But from a constitutional perspective, the regulation of religion in South Africa, if implemented, would violate the constitutional rights to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of association, freedom of belief, and freedom of opinion. Rather than creating new laws, which would place additional burdens on our already strained resources of government. The police and the courts can't even cope right now. Why does the state not focus its energies and its resources on enforcing existing laws and addressing real problems? I mean, things like lying, stealing, and theft are already illegal. Why not just start there? Freedom of religion in South Africa strongly recommends a code of conduct to which religious institutions and practitioners should be encouraged to subscribe. However, we need to find solutions that are practical, constitutionally permissible, without infringing on or eroding the freedoms of religion, the freedoms of belief, the freedoms of speech and conscience and association. The history of registering churches and religious practitioners, such as in Red China, the Soviet Union, and Cuba, shows the disastrous results of interfering with freedom of conscience. You, brethren, have been called to liberty. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We recently published The Rise of the GGB in the Pink Inquisition book, which documents how the radical LGBT homosexual lobby is jealous for the loyalty and approval of all. It has an antichrist spirit. No longer satisfied with freedom or tolerance, they now demand approval, funding, and conformity. Some even demand prosecution of dissenting voices and opinions. Closed minds stop thought crimes. Report those who think for themselves, or quote from the Bible. Support your local GGB thought police. If you think that the homosexual agenda will not affect you or your congregation or your family, you're wrong. Homosexualists and the gender fluidity movement want to transform the very fabric of society. They want to homosexualize our schools and the next generation, and they want government funding, your taxes, to force this on all. As free, yet not using our liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of Christ. Satan's plan is to invert reality where blasphemy and perversion become the new normal, where free speech is criminalized as blasphemy and treason to the New World Order, where pornography becomes an essential aspect of free speech, where abortion becomes the blood sacrifice sacrament of the New World Order, replacing the Lord's Supper. Abortion is the sacrament of the New World Order. And if abortion is so acceptable, why do photos of abortion make pro-choicers so angry? Questioning the multicultural interfaith agenda of the New World Order has become treason and heresy. Opposing and questioning the secular humanist version of origins through billions of years of evolution is intolerable. Rock layers don't take millions of years. This Mount St. Helens rock layer took 3 hours to lay down. Questioning the secular humanist New World Order version of history is considered subversive. Proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life is now condemned as hate speech and intolerance. So how should we respond to this war against free speech, criminalizing of our conscience, prosecution of thought crimes, pervasive pressure to normalize and accept pornography, perversion, and blasphemy? Nearly 500 years ago, Professor Martin Luther declared, "If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God's word, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him." Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldiers proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank and praise you for your love and your mercy, for the privilege we have of being your sons and daughters, your servants and your soldiers. As part of your family, your army worldwide, help us, Lord God, to be more brave and bold for you, to be faithful to your word, to be courageous and effective in your service, and in this battle for the family, battle for the faith, battle for our future. We pray this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.